Thank you for listening to the Weekly Market Outlook. It is our pleasure to bring an industry-leading market analyst to provide you with the most value possible in your farm business. Please reach out anytime by emailing cbarron@agviewsolutions.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the AgView Pitch. Today, you have Shay Folk and Matt Bennett. Matt, you are wrapped up with harvest. That's got to be a good feeling.
Yeah, for sure. You know, this year we started, corn was 24-25%. You know, we don't always start in there, but we decided to go ahead and reward ADM a little bit. They had a free dry and shrink only type deal going, and you know, we want to kind of get a start there. And we realized pretty quickly, based on the weather and the forecast, you know, that whenever we decided to go ahead and start cutting beans, by the time we were done with beans, we knew that the corn was just going to be as dry as could be. So we really hit it hard once we got started. You know, we did throw some in the bin. We don't have a dryer with our current setup. That's in the future. But regardless, you know, we hit some wetter corn, and I think it paid off for us later because we didn't get into any of that excessively dry corn, you know, that a couple of my neighbors have been talking about here over the last few days.
Yeah, we I actually just recorded a Phantom Yield Boss video with Ben Blair out of Iowa for Joe Vakovic's subscriber-only video yesterday. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting topic, and I think you guys probably made the right choice as you move forward there. And we were talking offline here too, Matt. Sounds like you got a really awesome crew that works with you, and you know, just congratulations on getting wrapped up. I was joking. I said, what are you going to do for the next 2 weeks? And there's always plenty to do, I think, so.
Yeah, we've got some field work to do, got some dirt work to do, you know, if this weather holds off for us, you know, there's certainly several things going on. You know, my my nightmare house project is not finished yet. It's been going on for, 15, 16 months at this point. But it's just been, you know, it's just one of those things. I want to try to get a couple of these things wrapped up while the weather's good, too. But for the most part, yeah, I mean, there's always something going on, as you know, but, it's certainly nice to get done this early, cause it gives us so many options as far as, you know, some of these, dirt work projects that, you don't always get a chance to do.
It also gives you some time to be thinking about maybe some strategic things that a lot of other folks don't have time to think about right now. And that was one of the things I wanted to focus on with this Sunday market outlook here today. You know, we're middle of October, we're middle of harvest. People are in the throes of breakdowns and WASD reports and, you know, harvest lows maybe. What do people need to be thinking about right now historically this time of year? I'd start there. And then where are we at today with the environment that we're in? So historically, what does the farmer need to be thinking about right now?
You know, the thing that jumps to my mind the quickest, what I wrote about this weekend that was on my mind the most is, you know, you're sitting here, you're going to come into this week with essentially half of your harvest price established. So, you know, I think you've got a pretty good crop. I had a pretty good crop, you know, but I do know there's a lot of folks that didn't. And so, you know, the crop insurance definitely comes into play whenever you're sitting here a dollar below crop insurance price. You know, we're 98 cents where we settled here, you know, on Friday. But, you know, essentially, a lot of folks have used crop insurance kind of as their safety net, so to speak, or, you know, their put option, you know, and they felt like they missed the boat as far as marketing was concerned, but they felt like they were also very much protected. You know, now that you're halfway through the month, you know, if we would just basically march lower throughout the rest of the month, maybe you go down 50, 60 cents, God forbid. I hope that doesn't happen. But if it did, you know, your crop insurance price isn't going to be 50 or 60 cents lower, unfortunately,
right,
because you've got so much of the average already established. So that's one thing that really comes to mind for me is that this is the time of year where you absolutely have to know what you're doing. You've got to know what your plan is. And so I'm a big fan, of course, of storage on the farm. You know, I do think that a person can make that storage pay this year. You know, I don't like as much, I don't like the carry that we currently see. I'd like to kind of see it maybe a little bit stronger. I feel like it should be based upon interest and whatnot. But as far as bushels going to town, you know, I guess the last thing I'll say about whenever I'm kind of marketing here is that, Yeah, I don't know that I'm a big fan of paying storage right now with what storage rates are. I gotta think that with the cash needs a lot of producers have, they could probably be in the game still on those bushels, which I hope are few. On those bushels, the thing is, Jay, is that if the market goes down, between now and let's say March, whenever you're wanting again to get your money, February, January, whatever it might be. If it's 25 cents to get out there, for storage, not to mention the extra shrink and the extra drying. But if the market goes down, you're still going to pay storage, and so we want to be cognizant of that because I do think there's a lot of folks that feel like the market typically rallies off the harvest low 50, 60 cents. We all know that. I think it's fairly well advertised. But that doesn't mean it's going to this year. And so, I want people to understand, how to approach this moving forward because this is one of the more precarious times of the year.
Now, you're talking 50 or 60 cents and talking about carry, which is, who knows, 15 to 30, depending on where your area is. But I'd push back a little bit because you're talking to people, that are listening now that kind of looked a gift horse in the mouth and saw a $6 and $7 corn and didn't do something with it. I mean this lovingly to everybody listening, but I'm going to ask the question, how it needs to be asked is, are people going to have the discipline and get a plan in place to really take advantage of, that bounce back if we get it, or to take advantage of that carry if the opportunity presents itself, or are they just going to watch it come and go again?
Yeah, and I think that Thursday was a real good example, for instance. You took the bean market up 40 plus cents at one time. Of course, we closed with extremely strong gains, especially relative to what we've seen the last several weeks. And I had growers calling me, and we weren't even $13, and they said, "Do you think we can get back to $14?" I'm like, okay, I'm just shaking my head, rubbing my head, like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, okay, first of all, what'd your beans make? And I think, it's pretty well known. A lot of folks in our part of the world, especially the early beans, were just really impressive. I think even the later beans were probably beans that they would have been okay with on their early beans. They just weren't maybe as good as their early beans. But so the thing is that are they going to lack the discipline? I would say that's a very real possibility. But what we have to understand, in my opinion, is that missing the boat, on $6 and $7 corn is probably going to be one of the tougher things over the last several years, that growers are going to have experienced because most of those growers bought very expensive fertilizer. And so the unfortunate reality is that 23 very well could be a year where a handful of growers, I'll just go ahead and say it, several of the bankers that I work with have people that are going to lose money in 23 in some fashion. And the reason is they booked really expensive fertilizer. So, I don't want to, just move right into a new topic, but of course, you want to talk a little bit about 24, because with 24, you look at where fertilizer prices are, and yes, it's a huge relief from a year ago levels. And so I think people feel this, I don't know. They feel like, well, you know what? I don't have to do anything from a marketing standpoint this year because we're so much cheaper than we were a year ago. I think that makes me concerned as well because there's no question in my mind that you could be looking at a lot of corn a year from now. If South America has a decent crop and if we plant decent acres here in the U.S., given the fact we've got a 2 billion carry, you might see corn a dollar lower than where we're at today. So, I think whether I'm talking old crop or new crop, yes, we have to get, if we've missed the boat and we weren't disciplined and we really screwed ourselves up, then how can we fix that moving forward? What can we do? I would urge a grower just to look at this from a profitability standpoint. How can I lock in a worst case scenario, and still stay flexible? If there's someone that's always bullish, and let's face it, the farmer typically is always bullish. And if that's you, you know what? Put a plan in place that allows you to participate at least in a portion of it if it goes up. But lock in a worst case scenario now.
So one thing I want to mention here, and I would share my personal experience this year as I have several times throughout the year, You know, we made some poor agronomic decisions, not in fertility in our operation, but with some cover crops that we didn't get terminated in a timely manner. And I'm sitting here at my house looking out the window, and the field outside of my house looked like it was going to be an absolute train wreck, like insurance claim for sure, until the first week of July. There's 4 foot tall rye out there. You couldn't see beans until July 10th or something like that. Field went 10 or 12% above APH at the end of the day. And it was just crazy. You couldn't explain it. So we got lucky there. But there was a time early in the growing season, probably middle of June, when I just felt in our operation between my father-in-law and I just felt like we weren't making good decisions. We were getting too wrapped up in what the growing conditions were like, the lack of rain, you know, the fields looked terrible, yada, yada, yada. And I finally just stopped and we had a meeting one morning and I said, we have got to get past this. I feel that we are caught in a rut of having all of these pressures and all of our decisions weigh on us. And we can't afford to make bad decisions right now. Mm-hmm. And that was my line in the sand. I said, now, from here until the end of the year, we have to make nothing but good decisions because 2024 depends on it. How this year finishes depends on it. And we've been obviously very happy with what we're seeing. I mean, you've referred to it several times. In our area, we're 10% above APH on soybeans and 10 to 15% above on corn in a year when we had about a third of our normal rainfall. And the switch in mindset, the story or the message here is, if you're someone that's missed the boat, if you're someone that is still incredibly low in your marketing percentage for 2023 or frozen on 2024, my comment or my message to you would be just draw a line in the sand right now and say we're going to make nothing but good decisions as we move forward. And so, Matt, when it comes to getting fertilizer price, when it comes to getting something on the books to protect some of that marketing, there's a lot of farm operations that really need to hear that message. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you sharing that. And, you know, I appreciate the timeliness of that too, because there's a lot going on right now. A lot of farm operations just have a lot of responsibilities, a lot of different hats that they need to wear this time of year. With that being said, anything as we move into specifically the week ahead, and then I'm actually going to pick your brain a little further into the future after that, but anything as we move into this third week of October, Matt?
You know, I just think that, as you said, I mean, the fertilizer discussion is a big one. I understand that some people might want to time this and say, hey, you know, due to this, I may want to hold off on some of my purchases, but I think with all the stuff we've got coming from a global standpoint, I gotta think, looking a gift horse in the mouth, like you talked before, on commodity prices, I think you're looking one in the mouth on fertilizer right now. And so I'm not saying that it can't get cheaper. It absolutely can get cheaper. But the thing is that it could also skyrocket due to things that are completely out of our control with global tensions where they're at and, you know, what could happen with oil prices potentially. So, you know, I think that we just need to sometimes not overcomplicate things. And that's about all I would say about where we're at currently. But yeah, as far as moving forward, you know, the main things I think that we've got to do is, you know, as we wrap up harvest, I mean, you get to halfway point or more. Typically what you'll start to see, you know, is basis will start to improve for you a little bit, especially in some of these areas where, you know, actually they don't have 10% or 15% above APH type yields. You know, elevator systems will really push hard to get a hold of bushels once they start to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so, you know, I think there could be some opportunities moving forward. I said all along, early season basis was going to be pretty darn good. Middle of the season basis was going to be junk, you know, and the end of the season basis was probably going to be pretty good again. And I still believe that that's going to be the case.
Yep. I do want to look ahead a little bit. So, you know, looking at DEES 24, we're back to the highest levels we've been on DEES 24 in a few months now. And as Chris and I are running cost of production numbers for 2024, if this fertility is locked in, There's still good profit sitting in that 515, 520, 525 for a lot of folks. I mean, not the profit levels we've seen the last few years, but there's profitability there. What are your thoughts on 24? Do you have or know of people that are at least covered on their fertility costs for 2024? Or what's your mindset there, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, my thought process all along, recommendation, if you will, the discussions I've had with my growers was the bare minimum I wanted to have covered as far as these 24. If you want a flexible plan, that's fine. If it's an HTA with maybe a chance to participate in some upside, but I want some flexibility there, but I would do the bare minimum, just the bushels that it's going to take to cover your fertilizer costs. Now, I do have growers that are upwards of 50% covered in some fashion. Now, once again, whenever you get more aggressive, you know, a year on out, then typically you have some flex in that type of a program. But I'm certainly, I'm not only willing to do it, I do that type of stuff myself. So, you know, yep. I'm very much on board with, you know, locking in. Once again, people get tired of hearing me say it, but locking in a worst case scenario, you know, to where I know at the very least, you know, I'll be able to make, let's say, $40, $50 an acre, whereas I could actually do much better than that if the right things fall into place. Now, you know, there's so many tools that we can use from a marketing standpoint that I wouldn't say are speculative in nature. They're actually a limited risk in nature, but they give you the opportunity to still participate if the market goes on up. So, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty aggressive as far as 24 is concerned on corn, you know, and even soybeans. I know that these are Nov 24 beans at 1251 to a lot of folks don't look all that great, but you know, you're talking about a situation where Argentina is extremely unlikely that they're going to have a worse crop than last year because it was a historic type drought for them, you know, whereas Brazil's going to come to the table with significantly more acres of soybeans. And so, you know, with that being the case, world production on beans could be awfully good. So, you know, I'm fairly aggressive on 24 beans as well.
Interesting. I have not heard that yet, but that does not surprise me. Again, just knowing that there's profit margin in there, and it doesn't matter whether you exactly like the numbers there. But like I said, I think finding some way to participate is good. And that leads me to my follow-up question here of 2025. Have you touched that with a 10-foot pole yet, or where are you at there?
Yeah, absolutely. 25 over $5, I think. You know, I've got a couple of growers that, again, are fairly aggressive, you know, and they, I believe that the most I've seen anyone do is 20 to 25% of what they feel like will be their, you know, their production. And, you know, I don't really have an issue. Historically, $5 corn is a pretty good place to be able to sell some corn. Now, I would say, you know, that like Brian Split on my team, our technical analyst, he's made the case that he feels like we could be looking at, you know, somewhere between $3.5 and $4 corn a year from now. Now he's not saying it's going to happen. He just says there's a very decent chance that it could, based on a variety of factors. And of course, charts are one of the main things he's looking at. You know, if that were the case, you know, and you were sitting here on a $5 hedge, you know, if you did get that depressed on prices, then there are some opportunities there, you know, where you can cover that hedge and, you know, and participate if the thing goes on up. But again, when historically you're at good prices, you know, after riding this wave, you got to look at a couple of different things. And one of the things you have to look at is how do the markets perform after multi-year highs? And after multi-year highs, typically the markets perform like crap. And so you usually have 2 to 3 years at least, you know, of what I would say are depressed markets. Now, yes, it's a global marketplace. Things have changed since the rally of 08, since the rally of 12, you know. But if we have anything like we had following the rally of 12, you know, that 15 through 19 ball game was just zero fun whatsoever. I would say my best sales, you know, for 13, 14, and 15 were made during the height of the rally of 12. You know, I wasn't at the tip top of it, but, you know, I was just looking out over the course of the next 3 years and said, you know what, I don't know how these prices could be bad prices. Now, I've done that before, and they ended up being bad prices, don't get me wrong. But, you know, when you're looking at historically very strong prices, You know, typically, if you want to hang your hat there on a portion of bushels, I think that it's a good risk management tool, and I'm not scared of these 25 of $5 one bet.
Yeah, interesting. And I would remind people, too, when you talk of that multi-year high, we're still in the multi-year high year, you know, being 2023. Mm-hmm. So that ugliness that could be ahead of us, we're not even getting into it yet. I also wanted to reference here before we wrap up, you know, the pricing for insurance period. I think we're somewhere, is it 490 on corn? And I don't remember exactly where we're at on soybeans. So it would take a significant move to change that. I mean, you know, you would need drastic movements actually in order to change those numbers at this point, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you would definitely need a pretty strong move. But yeah, I just think that, you know, once again, I think one of the main lessons that I'm going to try to help folks with as I go out, you know, over this winter is just going to be 21 and 22, we made extreme profit margins. Like we got spoiled a little bit, which was fun, you know, but it's not normal to have those kind of profit margins. And we've got to realize that, you know, there's nothing wrong with making $100 to $150 an acre if that's what we
yeah.
can make. You know, I mean, those were really good years for most people's careers. So, you know, expecting to make $300 to $400, $500 an acre, you know, in 24, you're probably going to be, you know, fairly disappointed.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to wrap up here. Any final thoughts, anything you want to close with here for the farmers that are sitting in the combine seat this week or maybe twiddling their thumbs thinking about, hey, you know, what do I need to be doing from a strategic standpoint?
You know, I always think there's something to be doing as far as, you know, you know, as far as putting your plan in place. And again, I think this is an extremely strong time for, or a good time, if you will, you know, to make sure you know what you're doing and to make sure that your bases are covered. And if, you know, there's some really good folks out there that can help people. I mean, even if it's just your banker, even if you're not wanting to do a, you know, a risk management plan, I think that a person has to understand the ramifications of doing nothing at this time. So the last thing, of course, I just hope everyone as they push towards the end. I know we always struggle to take the breaks that we need to, and we just have to force ourselves to do so, but just to be as safe as you can be, because I know, you know, as rapid as this harvest has gone for most people, people are getting pretty wore out.
Yeah, it's interesting. The harvest always seems to get done every single year. I'm not sure how that happens, but we always get there, so I appreciate that advice. Matt, thank you for the time here. If anybody wants to reach out to you, what's the best way that they can get a hold of you and your team?
Yeah, just the best way is just to go to agmarket.net. You can get you know, any of our contact info, check out our research and the technology that we put out there as well. So agmarket.net.
Very good. Matt, thank you so much.
Yep, absolutely.
And thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of the AgView Pitch, and we will catch you next time.